You know that verse? Can you quote it? I asked the men in our devotion the other day, please, I want you to memorize this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It starts off with what? Do not deceive yourself. I want it to hang there because the question is, how can I deceive myself? Can a Christian deceive himself? I don't talk about the unbelievers because they are living in it. Can a child of God be deceived? The same question is, can a child of God sin? If you say no, then you make God a liar. Because children of God can sin too. That is 1 John 2 verse 1 say. This has been written to us that we may not sin. But if we do, it means there is the possibility that we are going to sin. And if we do, we have an advocate. Someone that pleaded with the Father. Can I deceive myself? Think about that one. How many of us are sitting here, hear my voice, he's been deceived. And I said it many times, it's one thing if the devil deceived me. Like Eve said, it was the devil, he deceived me. It's another thing if you deceived yourself, like Eve deceived herself too. And she deceived herself so much that she thinks nothing is going to happen to her. Wow. So 1 Corinthians 15:33 say, and I know you know it, do not be misled or do not deceive yourself. Bad company corrupts good character. Point. Don't put a question mark there. God put a full stop there. Period. No debatable. Sorry. Case closed. It say, what does the word deceived mean? I've been cheated, man. I'm just been this, not you've been cheated. I've been led astray. It is like a cow in a kraal or a donkey that is on the farm, and the farmer is giving enough food for that donkey and enough water, you know, and good nutrition so that donkey can grow healthy, man. But the donkey wants to go on the other side of the fence. That grass looks much greener than this grass. I want that grass. The reason why that grass is greener, you don't know the electricity bill, because the water that they have to give that grass looks so much because they pay a lot for that grass. But you don't know that grass might be poison for you. It's to gone astray, to be lured away through something else or someone else. Now, the theme of my message, I hope you can find it by now, by these three verses that I read. The theme of my message is intentional relationships. Intentional relationships. And we know what the Bible says if we talk about bad company. And when we talk about this, I'm being deceived, do not mislead yourself, do not deceive yourself. It means that you can be led astray from the path of truth to a path of deception. Because the Bible says, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is what? The end of it is death. So it looks good in the beginning, and it looks that, you know, I can try this. And it looks so innocent, and you know, there's an ad many years ago, and I think I did share it with you. I was in standard 7, 8, what was that, grade 10. And as I lie one day in my bed, I have a small little white radio. I can take FM and I think AM, something like that, shortwave or something like that. So I'm on shortwave when I hear that jingle, that sick tune of that particular stadio, it is LM Radio, Lorenzo Marx, those years. And then I listen, oh, I got it. But you have to, it's very fine tuning. And oh, the signal is very poor. And then I got it. Okay. And once you got it, you have to lie still and you listen. And there's an ad that stuck here at the back of my head. You can stay as you are for the rest of your life, or you can change to mainstay. You know what's mainstay? I don't promote alcohol. It's like mint punch. It melts you now and punch you later. It's alcohol. You can stay as you are for the rest of your life. If you want to change, go and grab a bottle of alcohol. That is actually what they promote. I think they revamped that ad in the TV when I was at holiday. You can, the same, nearly the same tune, and then they have this on TV. There's a beach and the sunset, and there's a table set for two and candles, and man alive, it looks so cool. And there's the food, and then there's ad play. And we think that is life, but it's actually death. Because they say you want to change, change to mainstay, change to let the alcohol change you. And that is what alcohol do. It's a very good stain remover. Let you try it. Ask the people that has been removed from everything in their lives. Alcohol is a very good remover. It removes you out of your job, out of your pay, out of your wife and kids, and out in the streets, and no one wants you. Even the devil has kicked you out. You are of no use at all. Completely, said God in Jeremiah 13:10, completely useless to me. How has that come about? Intentional relationship. Well, let's just camp a little bit with verse 33. He said, bad company. Can I, before I go there, I want you for a moment just to think of the people that is in your life now. Those who was there and who is currently there. Think of those men and women who play a major role in your life. Who have a big impression or make a big impression in your life. Who have influenced you. Doesn't matter, good or bad. Can you think of those men or women in your life? Think of that, how much that they influence you, that they have a share in where you are today, before you come to Christ. Think of them. Are they still there? Would you like to be like them? How many times we counsel some of the people here, inside and outside, who's married, who has children, beautiful family, and they are on the streets. They are so deep in the dumps that their wives give them an ultimatum, and they sit with these beautiful children. Then I ask them this question. Would you like that your daughter became a prostitute? This little innocent girl of yours, or this little boy of yours, would you like to see him become a para, or a skabanga, or a amavasai? You like that he became a warlord and a drug addict and a washout in this life? No. Why not? Why not? You became one. Well, I don't want my kids to be like that. Then you need to change. Because they're going to follow your footsteps. And before you know, that child of yours is grown up. And she will come with this man that you don't want even to see. But she can say, Daddy, but you are then like that. I want to marry this man. And you said, over my dead body. Well, we can arrange that, Daddy. But then you are like that. The company we keep. What is bad company? People who have a negative influence in my life. It is people who encourage harmful behavior. Hey, let's go and rob that person. Hey, let's go and break into that house. Those people are not there. Hey, let's go and do some pocket stealing or whatever you call it. Hey, let's go and hurt someone today. I need to feed my habit. It's people that enhance that. It is people who practice sinful habits and have ungodly values. And we, most of us who came from that, we like that company. We was there. Paul say here in 1 Corinthians 6, turn there again with me if you can. It say there from verse 9. And remember, he also take the same thing. He say, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? They will not. And remember what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 5. Doesn't matter if such a person is known as a brother or a sister. Doesn't matter if they say they're Christians and they go to church and they may be a member of the church. It doesn't matter. He said, don't you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't deceive yourself. Don't think it is a small thing or you minimize it. Do not be what? What does he say? Deceived. Talking to the children of God. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Point. Not open for discussion. And then verse 11. And that was some of you. You were there. You came to Christ. You belong to Him. You've been united with Him. The deepest relationship man can ever get is a relationship with God. Some of you were there, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. How can you go back there? How can you keep that company and associate with that company? Don't you know? It is such people that have ungodly morals. They have ungodly habits and practices and values. And it's going to corrupt you. Your character, your reputation will be ruined. That is what corruption do. It is people who put a stain in your integrity. It's going to defile it. It's going to defile your relationship with God. It will erode your spiritual values. You might have it here in the mission so high and so strong, and you go out there and you associate with them and you keep them company. They're going to erode your spiritual growth, and they're going to eat it up like cancer. And Paul makes the analogy here with like that leaven, that little leaven that is in the dough. It's going to jeopardize everything. Little by little, like cancer, it will eat on your relationship with God. It will eat on your faith. It will eat on what you believe is true. And the bitter will become later on sweet because it eats it away. It is people that will lead you to compromise your beliefs. Ach, it's not so bad, man. Don't take life so seriously. Don't be so holy. I don't know really what do they call the children in school today when they want to stand out for God. Are you yellow or you are this or that? So what? It is people that will damage your relationship with God. There's a stain in your integrity. You can remember I said not so long ago, before I know that 1 Corinthians 15:33 is in the Bible, that my mother said to me, Chris, or Christo. Christo is my mother's nickname for me. I took the T-O away, so I call myself Chris. In our family, actually, there's a lot of Christians. My name, full name is Christian. And many of my family is called Christian, or Chris, or Christo, or some Chris. It is in Christopher and Christopher, and because there's too many Chris's there. So, Christo, show me your friends, and I will show you what kind of person you are. I never even know that time. This verse is in the Bible. My mother knows something that I didn't know. Show me your friends, Christo. Not that I have much, but a company I keep. Now, I'm glad she was not for 2 years with me in the army. I think I will hear that every day. But what to do? You are in the army, wild and dangerous. You sent Rambo home. Don't need him in the army or on the border because you are there. That's what you think. You deceive yourself. So what are we talking about when we talk about intentional relationship? What is the E? The E is what makes me powerless. It stands for erosion. Relationships with people that eat away my relationship with God. That's why we ask the question or say that we talk about intentional relationships. There's a purpose in it. And I know that when we go to those those where we come from, that's also intentional. But they don't have rules and they, you know, no bars hold. I can be myself there. And I don't have to be accountable to no one. Because none of them keep me accountable unless I borrow money from them or have to sell their drugs and I owe them. Then I must be accountable or I have to be on the run and become a renegade because they're going to hunt me down. Either kill me or I have to pay up what I owe them. Erosion. And that means it is someone, if I have such friends, it means it is also people that has been easily influenced by others. Am I easily being influenced by others? What does the Bible say about bad company? Well, I didn't suck it out of my thumb. In Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25, the Bible say, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Not to associate it with one easily angered. Or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." That is just a hot-tempered man. "Thou shalt not do follow a multitude of people to do evil." That is what Exodus says. Now I'm going to leave you with that one. Where does it say? When everybody in the mine, when I was a learner miner in a coal mine in Witbank before I go to a platinum mine, everybody was guaying. Guaying. They buy snuff in a small little canister, and then they put either a little bit of water in it, or they put some cold drink in it, you know, let's say orange juice or concentrate, or they take alcohol and put it in there, and they put it right here under their lip, yeah, okay? And then don't swallow it, because it is snuff. Mixed with that thing, it will give you a stomach that will run for a long time. So why do they do that? Because in the coal mine, the same as a platinum mine, especially the coal mine, no dust. The coal dust. That's why we have barricades in the coal mine where they put these white, it looks like cement, those packets of dust that we put in. So if there's an explosion under the mine, besides a methane explosion, there's one that is just as dangerous as a methane, I hope I pronounced that word, methane explosion. It is that dust of the coal. It's like powder. And that particle set alight the next one. All they need is that, and it explodes, and you can't stop it. That's why they have barricades with those buckets of white powder, because when that explosion, that shockwave, throw then those buckets off, and that wave, that wind that it creates, take that white powder and it mixed with the coal dust. And it can't. It kills the fire. It is very dangerous. So, if 100 of those guys that work in the mine, if thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, if 1,000 of the mine workers smoke Lexington, is that the one? Is that what we must smoke? Because 1,000 of them smoke Lexington. So everyone is guying. So Chris, do it too. Put it here. It's haha. And every time you... And you have to be careful where you walk because everybody is... Because of the dust. That's why always water, you always spray water. There must not be a speck of dust. So that is just a prevention because when you drill into the coal, there is some sort of dust. That's why it also... accumulate some saliva in your mouth, that your mouth not get dry with the dust. Everything is, you come with a white overall into the underground, you came out pitch black because of the coal, of the dust. You will be contaminated with the coal. Doesn't matter what you wear, your face. That's why when you go and wash, we have sunlight liquid. It's the only thing that took off that dust. You look like you have eyeshadow on your eyebrows because that is everything is black because you work in a mine. So thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Chris, you need to stop that. But Lord, everybody do it. You know, it's for the, we have a, we can justify ourselves. It is for the dust, so that we don't choke and, you know, your tongue stick to your palate because there's no saliva in your mouth. So we help with that, Lord.
No.
And it cost a sick bed for me before Christ listened to that. To that voice who said, no, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You will be ensnared with that, Chris. And you're going to be hooked on it, Chris. And it becomes now with water, and then it is a little bit of cold drink. And Chris, before you know, you put that alcohol in it. Because where does it start? Always innocent, isn't it? And then it escalates to such a proportion, I'm hooked and I can't get off it. He said, you shall not make friends with them. And ensnared means I get myself into trouble. I want you to read together with me to, my time is nearly up, to Psalm chapter 1. And I know that we know this one too. In Psalm chapter 1, as David gives us advice about intentional relationships. And I think most of us know that. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of the mockers. Blessed are those. It is all about the company I keep. And he say there, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaves does not wither, whatever they do prosper. Not so with the wicked. And God is very explicit when he say, not so with the wicked. They all like chaff, and that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to what? Everlasting life. Is that what it say? No, it say to destruction. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler listened to lies, all his officials became wicked. How many times are we so deceived that we listen to lies and we think that's the truth? That's why we found ourselves in the chamors, in the predicament where we are. Because we listen to them. How many husbands today in the night here in the streets who didn't listen to their wives and the pleading and the prayers of mothers and fathers and but they rather listen to lies. Because my friends know more than my wife or my husband or my father or mother. They have the truth, man, and look where they are. Dropouts. And we also want to become a dropout. As if it is something to boast, to be a dropout. Something to boast, said Paul. There's someone here in your midst who commit the most grossest immorality in your midst. And you say it's okay, and you boast about that. What a shame. You want to become a dropout? How many times I ask that question for mamas the past 7.5 years that we are here? They bring their children here. Please just talk to my son. He don't even make grade 10. He want to be a dropout. And then when you ask him about his friends, then he say, but most of his friends is dropouts. What do you want to become in life? Oh, he want to be a fireman, or he want to be a policeman. Really? And you want to associate with dropouts? You're going to become one. That is what the Bible teach. With who do you associate? And don't lie to yourself. Because, and I say this without condemnation, it's the company we keep that is where we found ourselves today. It's the company that we keep. Who's to blame? Us. I'm not finished yet. But I want you to process that. I want you to process that. And I say, Paul said some of you were there. Why is it that we so many still go back there? Let us pray. Father, help us to make the right choices. Some of us who sit here or who listen to my voice is not supposed to live because of our waywardness and your grace that protect us even when we are so wayward, because you have a purpose and a plan for us. When we talk about intentional friendships and relationships, Lord, we didn't come even to the biblical examples that is there, but we will come. Help us to think and to process what we have heard. Confirm that in our hearts, Lord, and help us to deal with that. For the rest of the week, prepare our hearts. We ask this in your precious name.